Let's start here. Without referring to Galatians 5:22 and 23, think about each of the fruits of the Spirit. No, really. Stop reading or listening and name the fruits. Go ahead. I'll wait. If you're like me, there is usually one or two that trip me up. For me, the two I typically can't come up with are faithfulness and gentleness. Not good. I have a theory about this. First, trying to recall all nine fruits of the Spirit is a good exercise in which to engage from time to time. Further, if you can't recall a couple of fruits, maybe you're having difficulty with your own manifestation of those fruits. In my case, it seems that I'm having trouble being gentle. Worse yet, it appears that I'm wrestling with faith. I'll be honest. I'm not exactly comfortable writing this. All of this sounds like a struggle with discipline. This is what Paul writes to Timothy about in the rest of chapter 4 of his first letter. He has just finished a discourse on apostasy, falling away from the faith. Like any good instructor, Paul knows that if you describe a problem, be sure and follow closely with a solution for his reader. The solution that solves falling away is discipline. Paul writes, in pointing out these things, that is, apostasy, to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Here, he points out the good news, bad news of telling the truth. The good news, in the only eyes that matter, those of Jesus, you will be seen as a good and faithful servant. The bad news, in the eyes of the world, you will be seen as a contrarian. The discipline underlying persistence in truth-telling is rooted in the word and sound doctrine. Both are required to prevent veering off course, choosing to be popular instead of being a faithful speaker of the truth. There is another discipline that must be evident in telling others that they are wrong. Gentleness. The art of finding the grace of making a point without flogging the listener is one that requires a delivery of a spring shower, not a thunderstorm. Staying in the word requires much focus. The anchor that enables one to receive God's voice is prayer. Stop and think about this. The Lord wants very badly to communicate with you. And no, He doesn't want to bury you with mandates. He wants to hear from you. Prayer opens a channel of dialogue with the Creator of heaven and earth and you. Once a person completely opens his or her heart to Jesus, the Spirit has permission to instill the necessary fruit required for any situation. That includes telling the truth against all odds. Paul gets to the point in verses 7 and 8. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For godly discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. Discipline leads to discernment. This is what Paul describes as avoiding old wives' tales. The discipline we're talking about targets godliness. This is a target that may never be perfected, but one well worth pursuing. Godliness is eternal, but even has benefits while making one's way through this life. Paul inserts in verse 9 an assertion he uses 5 times in 3 of his epistles. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. This seems to punctuate godliness as a key objective, along with Jesus came into the world for the sole purpose of saving sinners, he writes in 1 Timothy 1. Anyone seeking to become an elder or deacon in Christ's church is pursuing a worthwhile endeavor in 1 Timothy 3. If we die with Christ, we will live with Christ in 2 Timothy 2. Those who believe in God will also be careful to perform good deeds in Titus 3. The apostle brings the Messiah back to the sinner in verse 10. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Jesus is first and foremost in any line of thinking. Everything depends upon Him. The only requirement? Belief in Him. Paul wraps up the 4th chapter with 7 exhortations. Prescribe and teach these things. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. In the center of this conclusion, Paul refers to Timothy's and our spiritual gift. Each of us, from the moment of our conception, are endowed by our Creator with a special trait or ability. Our job should we decide to accept it, is to identify and sharpen this unique present given by grace for His purpose. Then, we are to use this one-of-a-kind gift from God according to His will toward His objective. All we have to do is recognize where we fit. We don't have to know everything in God's plan. We just have to listen so we know when, where, and how to act. That takes discipline. And yeah, we have to work at it. For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.